Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English.
Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. I have a new episode for you. It's an interview episode. I'm sorry about my voice because I'm just recovering from a cold and a sore throat and I nearly lost my voice. So you can hear that my voice isn't 100%, but I thought we had a good and interesting conversation, so I wanted to share it with you. And also, unfortunately, at the end of the podcast, I made a mistake with the link for the show notes page. So the show notes page for this episode is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode207. Hi and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. I've got a guest today and we're going to be speaking with her in a minute. I brought her onto the podcast because I thought that something she did was really interesting and I wanted to talk about that because I know for me that a lot of the people that I speak with are online, and sometimes it's really fun to bring those online friendships and corporations and partnerships or whatever you want to call it to something physical, to meet people face to face and to get to know them. That makes it a bit different, a bit more interesting, and that's what we did. So a couple of weeks ago I met up with Jane Eggers, who you may recognize because she's been on the podcast a couple of times. Jane is a translator, a German to English translator who's now living in Germany, and a couple of weeks ago she came to England and we met up for the first time, even though we've been talking online for, I'm not sure how many years, but quite a few. So, hi, Jane. Welcome to the podcast. It's nice to have you back on the podcast again.
Hi, Kirsty. It's really nice to be back.
Yeah, good to see you again on the screen this time.
Yeah.
So what was your plan when you came to England? What were you trying to achieve and how do you feel it went?
It's something I've been thinking about for quite a few years, that I meet a lot of people online and have Zoom chats, quite a lot, virtual coffee sessions. And I thought it would be really nice to take it one step further, or take it to the next level, if you like, and actually meet people in person. And at the same time, I wanted to, this is going to sound weird, but I wanted to practice my English because I live in Germany, but I translate into English. I wanted to meet up with other business owners and other translators to really talk about business topics in English. I mean, I visit my family a lot, but we don't talk about that kind of thing that I do for my work. So I wanted to get that opportunity. And I just thought it would be a really fun way to combine those things, like build the relationships a bit and really immerse myself in English language and culture again.
And how did it go? Did you have fun?
Oh, I had an amazing time. Yeah. It was so cool. It really worked out how I'd hoped. I did a circuit of what's called my Southwest England tour. So well, obviously I met you in Basingstoke, and then I went down to Southampton and where I was, Bournemouth, Swanage, and over to Bristol and then Swindon, and I met up. Yeah, it went very, very well. I had lots of kind of small groups. That was the key for me. One to one or one to two, apart from in one case where I went to a slightly bigger event in Bristol, but mostly it was smaller get-togethers, and it was just a lot of fun, good conversations.
Yeah, I certainly had fun when we met up, and I think I enjoyed it that it was small. What do you think are the benefits of either practicing language skills in that way? I know you weren't practicing language skills in that sense, but for people who are, because there are a lot of listeners to the podcast who are learning English, or business professionals who want to make new contacts, what do you think are the benefits of doing it this way rather than going to something really big like a conference or a meetup where there are lots of people?
Well, I think it does depend on your personality, but I know that for me, I feel much more comfortable in smaller groups. I can get quite overwhelmed when it's a big get together, especially if it's loud. I sometimes find it difficult to hear what everybody's saying. Mm. And you have to concentrate a lot more. And I just find you can get a bit deeper. You can have more interesting conversations if you're in a smaller group. But I think it's very important to just find what suits you. You know, maybe some people really love a bigger group atmosphere, and that can be fun as well. I won't say that I don't like it at all, but Yeah, I think it's very much a question of working out what's best for you and how you can get the most out of it.
Yeah, choosing the people whom you want to know better and then making a plan how you can do that. Because I think it's true. Sometimes you think it's an additional language thing, but sometimes even when it's in your first language, if there's a lot going on, it can be a bit of sensory overwhelm for some people. Yeah. So it's nice to do something a bit smaller. But also, yeah, you have more opportunities to speak and to listen in smaller groups. And I think it helps you to get to know people, because maybe if you've got 5 minutes with somebody, you won't get to know them as well as if you'd spend an hour with them over dinner or something. So you can really get a chance to get to know them.
That's right. And the other thing about what I did was that it was quite curated or pre-selected. It was I hadn't met any of you in person before, but I had chatted with everybody on Zoom and stuff, so I already had an idea that it was going to be an interesting evening or an interesting lunch or whatever. You know, I kind of knew that we'd get on, so that was
going to be stuck with somebody that you're looking at the clock thinking, when can I finish this, when can I go home?
Right, well, yeah, taking it to the extreme. Yes, well, I mean, especially in the case if you're planning your trip overseas to meet people, you want to know that you're basically going to have something to talk about and that it's going to be worthwhile if you're investing that time. Obviously, if you go to a local networking event for an evening, then you can try and see who you meet. I mean, that can also be interesting and spontaneous, but yeah, I quite liked that sort of pre-select option. Yeah,
because really it's an extension of what you do. I know that you are good at following up with people. Like if you go to an event and you meet some interesting people, then you will have virtual coffees with them.
Yeah.
So how do you think this, either as a business owner or as somebody who's improving their language skills, we have both listening to the podcast, but how do you think this can help what you're doing? How can that help us to improve our language skills? Maybe if I were doing it in Romanian, or how does it help us as business owners to find new contacts?
I think when you're networking, you have to spread your net wide. I mean, it's not the people I've met up with in the UK are not necessarily those who are then going to come back and give me translation work. But it's always good to have more contacts, because you never know who knows who or what's going to come up. But basically, it's just fun. When it comes to learning a language, I don't know. I think it's easier to learn if you can find people that you like, you enjoy spending time with, because then you're not focusing on, oh, I must now speak English or Romanian or whatever, but you're basically just having fun with new friends. And then the language learning part will come automatically, because you'll be so much more motivated. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. If you can find a fun way of getting together with people, you know, whether it's finding a shared interest or doing what I did and meeting up with them. I mean, I did some trips with some of the people I met up with, and you just kind of, it takes the focus off. You get to know them without sort of thinking, I am now getting to know somebody, or I am now practicing my language.
So yeah, you have a joint activity. And I think sometimes in terms of the language element, the pressure can be off if you're just talking to one person. Okay, you have to keep the conversation going and you can't hide behind all the other people that are there. But when I went to networking meetings, I was very reluctant to share in the group discussion, for example, in Romanian. I don't have that problem in English. Whereas we had breakout rooms with just one person, and I actually enjoyed that. Obviously, it depends who else is in there. But with some people, I really started to relax and feel, okay, I can do this, because it was just one person. And that can really help you. If you need to build your confidence, then sometimes it's a lot easier to build your confidence with one or two people than with a big group of people.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
You can learn a lot there. You can learn vocabulary. But in terms of, if you're somebody who's a bit shy about speaking, then starting small can sometimes be a really good way to start, because then nobody's watching you, just the person that you're with. And if you like them, then even better.
Yeah, and it's much easier to, if you're just having a one-to-one conversation, it's much easier to stop somebody and say, oh, sorry, I didn't understand that, or can you just repeat, or what did you mean by that? But whereas if you're in a group of like 10 people having one of those big over-the-table conversations, I would hesitate to then draw all the attention to myself and say, oh, sorry, I didn't understand. Obviously, you can do that. It depends on your personality, but I find that a lot easier in a one-to-one situation. I'd be more confident with that.
Yeah, and I think generally people will wait for you more in a one-to-one call conversation because they're talking to you, but sometimes even with the best intentions, if there's a big group of people and everybody starts talking at the same time, then that's more information for you to process. So
that's true, yeah. And sometimes you might not I mean, depending where you are in your language learning, you might be focusing on getting your sentence correct and getting the grammar right. And then by the time the conversation comes around, it's already kind of moved on. You know, by the time it's your turn to chip in again, that can be hard.
And creating space to chip in, I think that's something that I sometimes have an issue with in English as well, to be honest, mm-hmm. because of the lack of eye contact. But yeah, finding the right time for when you can say your part, even though you have just been rehearsing it in your head for the last 2 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Finding a time to chip in can be more of a challenge in an additional language. It doesn't have to be. It really depends on you and your personality. But if you find that it is, then that's another reason why starting on a one-to-one basis can be helpful.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so what did you learn when you were here? What are a couple of things that you discovered either about yourself or about the UK or about the people without being too... revealing everything on the podcast, but what did you learn?
I found how nice it is in Bristol. I'd never been there before, and I just thought it was a lovely city. It
has this really cool... never been to Bristol.
It was nice. It was very studenty, and it had a sort of quirky vibe to it, a bit arty. And I have to admit, I didn't realise how close it was to the border with Wales either, because I was able to pop over for dinner with some people, so that it was only like 40 minutes drive across. Mm-hmm. Well, the actual drive over the border was even shorter, but I only drove 40 minutes to my dinner. So that was something. I know this really, but I'm reminded again and again how much contactless payment is more of a thing in the UK than it is here in Germany.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think I hardly paid anything in cash the whole time, which is extremely convenient. And like, I'm thinking, even in the cathedral in Bristol, they had a box for donations, and even there they had a QR code that you could just scan, so you could just pay your donation contactlessly whatever the word is, by card. So yeah, that's still kind of comes up as a new thing, although I actually, you know, I should know that really from being in the UK a lot. What I learned for myself was that, and this is where my plans actually paid off, not to fill the whole day with meetings and appointments, because I need time to, you know, recuperate. So I wouldn't, if I was meeting somebody for lunch, then I would probably leave the evening slot free for myself to read my book or go for a nice walk or something. Mm-hmm. So I found that quite important, because when I was planning the trip, it was quite tempting to fit in as much as possible.
Mm.
But I had the feeling that I'd probably burn out halfway through the week if I did that. And it was actually really nice to have some gaps. So I enjoyed that I could just get my energy back and process also, you know, process the conversations that we'd had. And yeah, that felt good. So I learned that was a good assumption on my part when I was planning it. Yeah, that worked out.
I think it is, because I used to work in London, and we often used to see big groups of tourists, and we're going here, we're going there, and you have to be here by this time because then we're going to, oh, and I thought, well, they will see a lot, but it just felt rushed. What they were doing, their itinerary was to do as much as possible and to see as much as possible, which if you've come a long way, I can understand why people would. But at the same time, if you need a break after your holiday, because
exactly, yeah,
rushing around, that's not very relaxing. So yeah, it gives you time, and if something takes a bit longer, or if you want to do something else that you hadn't thought about before you started the trip, then you have space to do that because you didn't fill your itinerary too much.
Yeah, that's true actually, and that did happen with one thing where we had to change plans, and because I had spaces in between, I was able to find an alternative slot, and that was quite nice to be able to be spontaneous.
So do you think you'd like to do it again with like different people or a different kind of tour?
I'd love to. I'd really like to do it once a year if I can manage it and do a different portion of the country. I don't know, because there's so many nice people.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of fun. And I mean, there's lots of things that you can go to. But I really think it was good for me in a lot of ways. And I mean, I also, like I was saying at the beginning, for my English to really, really get into it again, and Yeah, I don't think I spoke a word of German the whole week, so that was nice. Because if I visit with my family, then we kind of speak German amongst ourselves sometimes, and so it's not completely gone. So, yeah, I'm very aware of that living in Germany, but still needing to keep my English very fresh and cutting edge.
Yeah, and you gave me an idea because I'd like to, since I've been learning Romanian, I'd like to go and visit some of these, like some people I speak to every day, but we've never met. So that would be really good to do
Yeah.
a tour and to meet some of the people that I've met online through my new project.
Yeah, you should do. I found it really, really enriching. Definitely. I always say, I've been telling people this amazing analogy about the tomatoes that you buy from the supermarket. Tomatoes that you buy from the supermarket are like Zoom calls, and they taste fine, and it's really great that we've got the Zoom option and it's amazing. But then you have tomatoes that somebody's grown in their garden, you suddenly realize how much nicer they can be. And that's like the face-to-face real life meetings. They're just a lot richer because you've obviously everyone's there in glorious Technicolor with all the senses and whatever else you're doing. So I think it's important to do that from time to time. It doesn't necessarily have to be a huge trip to another country, but there might be ways that people can take relationships out into the real world. I think that's a very, very good thing to do. But you should definitely go to Romania. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if any of my friends hear this, they can hold me to it.
Yeah, exactly. Make a
yeah,
commitment, Kirsty.
I think it's right. I think Zoom really helps us to screen. I don't, that sounds quite clinical, but to really find the people that we think we will connect with. And I think for me, as somebody who works a lot with people who are far away, then that really helps because at the moment I'm connecting with a lot of new people on LinkedIn, and that's really cool, but most of them are miles away, and Zoom really helps with that. But yeah, it's something else when you get to meet people. I've met a couple of my clients because they came to London on holiday, and yeah, we had a lot of fun. We went to, where did we go? To the Tower of London. We went to the with another client, we went to the Christmas market.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. So I know some people know who you are already because they've listened to the other podcasts, but where can we find you online? Where's the best place to find out more about what you do?
So my website is at jane-eggers-translations.de, and I'm very active on LinkedIn, Jane Eggers. You can probably find me that way. I'm always happy to be connected with new people, and yeah, so send me a drop me a line on LinkedIn if you'd like to get in touch. Yeah, that would be lovely.
Okay, and I'll add those links to the show notes page as well,
Thanks.
so people can find out where you are, and find out more about what you do. Yes, I can. Jane is definitely active on LinkedIn, so she posts a lot of good content. So go and check her out on LinkedIn and her
Yeah.
website too. And the show notes page will be, I'm just checking, at www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/206. So thank you, Jane, for coming.
Thanks for having
And
me. It's been fun.
it's been good to find out what you did. And yeah, let us know in the comments whether you have done any of these things, whether you find it helpful to meet in smaller groups, or if you like the big groups, and whether you have any other tips for networking or meeting new people, especially if that involves using an additional language, because it's always good to share the tips and things that have worked for us. So, have a good week and have fun learning English.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.